A major investigation into Australia's banks is underway.
Australia's banking regulator is taking a separate look at culture, accountability and governance in banks.
Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Rob Young. Good morning. An official inquiry has begun into allegations of misconduct in Australia's financial sector after a number of scandals. Banks, pension funds and insurance companies have also been warned against trying to prevent people from giving evidence. ABC's senior business correspondent Peter Ryan has been at the Commission's first day of hearings in Melbourne.
For a number of years now, there have been some very, very serious scandals that have taken place in the Australian banking sector to do with financial planning or bad financial planning. Very, very big problems with the insurance arm of the Commonwealth Bank of Australia, Australia's biggest bank, where people were not being paid out on their insurance policies. But the biggest one late last year was when the Commonwealth Bank faced allegations of breaching anti-money laundering regulations on 54,000 times. And this has been pretty much the impetus for this Royal Commission to be called. The federal government, Australia's Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull, really fought against having this Royal Commission. But because of political reasons and the National Party, which is the party that represents rural members of parliament, were threatening to cross the floor. And in the end, they really had to relinquish.
And is the concern that this behaviour, rather than being something that is no longer taking place, is still going on?
Australia's banking regulator is taking a separate look at culture, accountability and governance in banks, in particular the Commonwealth Bank, to determine whether or not there's a culture where banks put profitability before their clients.
What do the banks say about their behaviour?
One big bone of contention has been the issue of confidentiality clauses in contracts. The big four banks here in Australia late last week were forced to say they wouldn't be using confidentiality clauses to stop any current or former employee or whistleblower from giving evidence. But the Royal Commissioner made the point today that the Royal Commission has sweeping powers and basically signalled that any financial institution that tried to use confidentiality clauses to stop an employee, current or former, from testifying, well, that would be frowned on quite seriously.
Peter Ryan, let's do the numbers. Investors have been given a bit of a reprieve this morning after last week's volatility. In China, the Shanghai Composite closed up 24 points, that's 0.8% higher. In London, the FTSE 100 is up 92 points, or 1.3%. Well, one of London's airports is expected to be closed for most of Monday after the discovery in nearby water of an unexploded bomb left over from the Second World War. London City Airport, which is largely used by business travellers, normally handles about 12,000 passengers every day. Vishala Sripathma reports.
City Airport is close to London's banking district and is regarded as Britain's business airport, with flights to Europe's other financial centres. Its single runway is located in East London between the waters of the former Royal Docks. Police say an unexploded bomb was found in the King George V dock on Sunday as work to upgrade the airport was going on. After the runway closed for the night, the decision was taken to create an exclusion zone of more than 700 feet while the Royal Navy worked to make the device safe. London City Airport says it will remain closed until further notice. The airport's biggest user, British Airways, has cancelled most of its flights into and out of the airport for the rest of the day. Flybe has cancelled the majority of its flights until at least lunchtime. The closure will cause disruption to many of Europe's financiers, who will be scrambling to find other ways to get in and out of Europe's biggest banking centre.
For Charlotte Sripathma. Italians will vote in national elections in 3 weeks' time. Migration and the rise of the far right have become big issues. The BBC's James Reynolds reports from the central Italian town of Macerata.
We are anti-fascists, chant demonstrators in Macerata. The fact that thousands feel that it's necessary to come out and say this tells you a lot about Italy right now.
Being here today is an important gesture for the entire country because we're seeing a wave of racism and fascism.
A group of 30 or 40 migrants has arrived at this demonstration and they've been cheered by the other demonstrators here. United against racism, the migrants banner reads.
Nous avons très peur maintenant, nous avons très peur.
Because of what happened, Mamadou from Senegal tells me, we are very scared.
They're scared because the gunman who shot six migrants in Machidata did not emerge in isolation. 28-year-old Luca Traini was attracted to far-right rhetoric, which accuses migrants of bringing crime and disease to Italy. He even stood as a candidate in a local election for the country's leading anti-migrant party, the Northern League. On the morning of the 3rd of February, Luca Traini drove round Macerata, shooting at anyone who looked like a migrant from Africa. 20-year-old Kofi Wilson from Ghana had been on his way to get his hair cut. He was shot in the chest.
It's not my choice to be a black.
To be a black person?
Yeah, it's not my choice, from God.
Do you want to stay in Italy?
It's difficult, but me, per se, I like to stay in Italy.
The party the gunman supported, the Northern League, is running in the coming general election, alongside the party led by the former Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi. Italy's most powerful anti-migrant movement now stands close to a potential share of national power.
James Reynolds, and finally, could selfies be one of the biggest drivers of economic growth? Travel and tourism have outperformed the overall economy recently, driven by tourists keen to take photos of themselves in famous places. In London, I'm Rob Young with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.